This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Here's Hoyer bootleg roll up, rolling to the middle, stepping up. He's got Gabriel wide open. He's got it. First and goal.
Cleveland native, former Browns quarterback and Super Bowl champion Brian Hoyer on the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima. We are Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan.
One of the most listened to segments over the last week was Brian Hoyer's appearance right here on Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan. We're going to be checking in with Brian every single week leading up to the draft here in the 9 o'clock hour. Brian, how are you? As he joins us on North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. What's up, Brian?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
We are good. Let's get this out of the way first because we are having some fun. I don't know if you heard one of the big news breakers in sports. Adrian Wojnarowski has now gone to the internet to try to auction off some of his items, including phones that he's broken news on, his credentials. And so it just got us talking about random items in Cleveland for sports. If we were trying to raise money, what could we try to sell? What could we try to auction? We came off with some items, some fun items like Billy Manziel's wig, for instance.
Ray Farmer's phone.
Brian, any items in particular? Anything you have? We know we have one of your footballs was in the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton. But is there anything that you have near and dear to your heart you could raise money if you really wanted to?
Yeah, I have a few things. One of the main things that I kept from my time in Cleveland, I still have the cleats that I tore my ACL in on that one fateful Thursday night that really changed the direction. Yeah, so I've kept those as a reminder. Maybe I don't need those anymore. I'm no longer playing. So it wouldn't be a bad thing to maybe raise some money for my hometown and a piece of Cleveland Browns history. I know one of the coolest things that and some of my friends growing up, their dads had them, were the old seats from the old municipal stadium. I always thought that was really cool. And then I always think like Burtman's mustard, right? Ballpark mustard. That's a Cleveland staple. When I talk to my friend Michael Simon, we always talk about that. So those are three things that come to my mind right off the top of my head.
The Hoyer package. You could put a whole package together.
Yeah.
For something like that.
I got some jerseys left over, so we got a bunch of stuff.
Well, for authentication purposes, can we get the instruments used to repair your ACL along with the cleats?
Yeah. We might be able to. I mean, Dr. Latul Farrell over at the Cleveland Clinic, we could call him up. I'm sure he has that. I know I have the disc, so if you guys want to see the inside of my knee, we could always include that too.
Oh, you know, Brian, once he got that surgery, he was in South Beach for the – oh, wait, that was another Browns quarterback this past year. Really bonding with his teammates. Brian Hoyer joining us right now on the hotline. All right, when you think about the Combine and your experience with the Combine now that everybody is in Indy this week – what do you remember the most? I know it probably feels like a long time ago, but from the types of questions to the pressure, and back then it seemed like everybody threw the ball. What was your experience like?
Yeah, it was a whirlwind, especially for me. I wasn't going to be one of these top guys, so I knew I had to go in and perform and was looking forward to it. I always felt like I could throw the ball really well, so I was looking forward to it. But you get out there and you realize, like, you know, throwing a football to guys you've never thrown before, that becomes a little challenging because you're not used to the way they break and things like that. But after a while, you start to get the hang of it and you realize you're out there with the best that they have to offer. So it's one of those things that, and then you get to the train station, right? And it's like speed dating, right? You go from one team to the next and you're spending time. And then it's like the bell goes and then you go to the next, you go to your next meeting. So it is a whirlwind to get you up early to do a drug test. I think they want to make you uncomfortable and see how you respond. And it's literally, like you said, it's a long time ago, but because of the nature of it, I don't have a lot of specific memories because it's kind of like, I remember getting done and being like, what did I just get done doing? Because it goes by so fast and you meet with so many people and you get brought into these rooms and they're putting you on the board and okay, draw your favorite play you had from Michigan State and you go over that. And I remember one coach kind of laughing at me and like, that's your favorite play. That's pretty basic. Right. And I'm like, well, that's all. I mean, that was the one that I threw the most touchdowns on. So that's why I like it. So they really want to put you through the gauntlet and see how you respond to questions and things like that.
One of the biggest stories that are controversial or whatever, the fact that Shedeur Sanders is not going to throw at the combine. I think the folks most upset about this are the people televising it on NFL right. Network. I've argued that it's not that big a deal. If you want to know what a guy looks like, how he throws under pressure, whatever, just, I don't know, fire up some of that Colorado tape if you're bored. But how do you feel about that? Is it a big deal that Shedeur and maybe even Cam Ward does not throw with the combine this weekend?
I think back when I was in the combine, it was a big deal. But now so many people don't do it and choose to, you know, obviously wait for their pro day. But then, like for me, even I threw at the combine, but then three or four teams traveled to Michigan State and I would throw in a more intimate setting with their quarterback coach or their offensive coordinator, which really, if you're really, you know, looking at taking one of these guys in the first round, you're going to put so much work in that them not throwing at the combine, really, like you said, it's more the people who are covering it that get kind of caught up in it. But I don't think that those guys not throwing at the combine, I think this is more of a thing of the past. In this generation, it's kind of become happenstance, so to speak, that these guys aren't going to throw. So I don't make too much of a deal out of it. If you're taking Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward and they don't throw at the combine, you're going to see them throw multiple times, whether it's at their pro day or you go work them out, whatever it might be, and you'll see them up close and personal. I think you just want to see people compete. That's the biggest thing.
Well, that's the whole thing that's so curious to me. We're joined by Brian Hoyer. You've had teams, you had coaches that have been like, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to the combine. Like, that would have been sacrilegious when I was younger. And Bill Belichick went every year. Andy Reid's going. So, I mean, if those guys are going, it stands to reason that if you're a coach in the NFL, it feels like it's not a waste. It's never a waste. Anytime that you can get more exposure to some of these potential players, to me, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's the biggest thing. Even if the guys aren't going to do anything physically, whether it's throwing or running or whatever it might be, this really gives you an opportunity to go in there and meet with them and see how they respond when they're, so to speak, under pressure, when they're going from one team to the next and you're asking them questions about what was their play calls like in college? Did you call plays in the huddle? Which obviously this will be a new thing this year because this was the first year they had to coach the quarterback in college, right? So up here when I was doing some of the preseason games for the Patriots and Drake May and Joe Milton were rookie quarterbacks and we're doing the production meetings with them and they're like, well, we haven't called a play in the huddle since we were in high school. So that'll change. I think that'll be NFL coaches will like that more because now guys go back to the traditional having to get the play call in their helmet, call the play in the huddle. So that I think that's a thing that college waited too long to do, but will really benefit these quarterbacks coming out.
As a former NFL veteran, Brian, what advice would you give these young quarterbacks as they go through this draft process? You know, college football isn't what it used to be. Guys are bouncing around programs now because of NIL. Andrew Berry has said that is no longer a red flag because that is now just the reality of the college game. So what would you tell these young guys coming out as far as being what's important to be prepared for the NFL and to be successful in the NFL?
Yeah, I think just being honest with these people in the meetings and being honest with yourself, if they ask you something and you don't know, trying to lie about it, which I've heard from, you know, I became friends with a lot of my coaches as the years went on, and we would talk about this time of year, like, hey, what are you looking at in a prospect? And being honest, and coaches know when you're making stuff up. And to go in there and say, well, yeah, I know I did this, and then they put the film on. The film's never going to lie. And so I think you just be honest and don't try to over kind of show what your knowledge is, because they expect you to come in and learn. And I think that's the biggest thing, is go out there, put your best foot forward. My agent would always tell me, it only takes one team that's got to like you. And that's the case. You may go through 30 different meetings, and maybe you come out with 15 of them and you feel like, those guys didn't really like me. That's okay, because the one that does like you, that's where you want to go anyways, because those people are going to be the ones that put you in the best position to win. So, you know, the quarterback position is so different now. People are transferring. The skill set's so different. I mean, the guys in college throw the football now more than any other time that I could remember. So they're coming in with a lot of reps. The other thing, too, is you see a lot of these guys, you know, back in the day, the top prospect was a guy who was leaving after his junior year. You're getting a lot of guys now who've played a lot of football. So there's a lot of film to go over. That was the biggest thing for me. I felt prepared. I had a great Tim Hasselbeck was actually a guy who prepared me for my combine meetings. And he's like, they're gonna come in and they're going to throw up a clip of you playing at Michigan State, and they're going to expect you to kind of get up there and explain the play, tell them what everybody's responsible for, all that they're doing. So these guys are going to have a lot of film to be ready for when that coach flips on that play and instantly recall it.
Brian Hoyer with us. Let's get to some Browns before I get to an NFL-wide question. Matt Stafford, according to Albert Breer, the Browns are one of the teams that have contacted the Rams and are definitely interested in Stafford. Do you think it makes sense, 37 years old, playing outside in Cleveland with potentially a $50 million price tag?
Yeah, 100%. Until you get that position fixed, you're going to be always searching. And if that means you have him for another 2 or 3 years, which I think knowing Matthew and the way he takes care of himself, he still throws it. He's probably a top, if not top five, top 10 thrower of the football still in the league at this point. And then you come to find out he's playing with broken ribs. He's as tough as they come. So if you have an opportunity to get a Matt Stafford, and this kind of goes back to what we talked about last week, where if you trade Myles Garrett, you're giving yourself more options. And I think if you are able to do that, accumulate more picks, maybe you feel better about going out and doing those things. And I think, look, Matt Stafford would be a perfect guy for you to bring in, not have to be forced to draft a quarterback early if you don't want to, because you don't feel like they're going to be the guy. They're not going to be a Drake May or a Jaden Daniels. And use that to kind of right the ship, so to speak. Because, look, the Browns, I mean, they have a lot of great players on the team, and solidifying that quarterback position could really turn your situation around really quickly. And so if there's any opportunity you have to get Matt Stafford, shout out to the last quarterback in my draft class still going, I think you take that opportunity and really take a hard look at it.
Whatever Andrew Berry had to say to Myles Garrett during the exit interview process and the subsequent conversations that may have followed that, obviously was not enough to sell Miles on wanting to commit to the Browns long term, and obviously the Browns are under no obligation to trade him. He just may be stuck here. But how do you fix that relationship? As somebody who's been in multiple organizations and locker rooms, when there appears to be a fracture in a relationship to the point where a guy actually makes it very public, takes a shot at the GM statement asking for a trade, How can that relationship actually be repaired, Brian?
I mean, honestly, the only way I could see it, because it sounds to me from what I've read, Miles wants to win. And if you somehow can pull off a trade for Matthew Stafford without having to give him up, he may say, okay, that's a real commitment to winning. But I don't know if that's something that you can pull off without the gain that you get by maybe trading him. So I don't know. I've been in some locker rooms where guys are, so to speak, disgruntled, and it does, it's awkward at the first point, but then as grown men, you realize it's a business, and each person has their own thoughts of their career, and so nothing is held personally, I don't think. And from what I've talked to with guys who've played with Miles, he's a great teammate, he wants to win, he's very competitive. I don't think anyone's looking at him like he's a selfish person. I think he's realizing he's getting older, he's made the money, he wants to be a part of a winning team. I'm sure he sits there and watches Saquon go from the Giants to the Eagles and win a Super Bowl, and that's really, I think he's looking at it from that standpoint. Now, if you can go and trade for Matt Stafford, he may say, oh, okay, you guys are serious about winning now. And that's, I think that's the sentiment I get from him. So if you can pull off a move like that, I maybe he comes back around and says, okay, I don't need to be traded. We have a guy to the Super Bowl. We build the right pieces around him. I'll be happy here.
Brian Hoyer with us on the hotline. An NFL team has submitted a rule proposal to ban tush push. That was according to Troy Vince, NFL Executive Vice President of Football Operations. Later in the day, it emerged that it was the Packers. What do you make of that play and that there's been the blowback about its existence?
Yeah, it's tough to see a lot of changes. They got rid of the wedge on the kickoff. It's now the kickoff is entirely different. But that's it's a legit play. I mean, you're just lining up and running a quarterback sneak. I don't even know how much the push actually helps. The Eagles do it so well. Even if the running back wasn't allowed to push Jalen Hurts, I think he's still scoring on most of those. So having played behind probably the greatest QB sneaker of all time, at what point are you going to say, well, you can't run a quarterback sneak? So it's a very awkward predicament to be in, because I do think there's a little bit of, when you talk about player safety, those guys kind of rooting down in there and their necks and their heads and all of those things. So even if you said, okay, you can no longer push the quarterback, I still think the way that Philly runs it and with how good of a sneaker Jalen Hurts is. Now, look, I mean, the Bills in their playoff game against the Chiefs, they tried quarterback sneak after quarterback sneak, and eventually they were stopped. And so there is a way to get it done. It's just, to me, I don't foresee them being able to really outlaw this play. I guess you could say the running back can no longer push the quarterback, but there's still going to be quarterback sneak. So it's an odd predicament for the league to be in.
The annual gathering of the competition committee at the combine is happening this week as well, Brian. They're talking about modifying the kickoff rules for what feels like the 20th time in the last 5 years. They're talking about the replay officials and whether or not they actually do an actual sky judge, which I'm totally fine with. What was your take on the kickoff modifications? And then quickly, what do you think about implementing an on-site sky judge to correct errors that are made on the field?
Yeah, I mean, I get it with the kickoff. Look, I'm thankful I never had to play special teams in my life, because watching those guys run down at full speed and run into each other was one of the craziest things I've ever seen, especially at this level. But the one thing that I thought, it kind of, there's no more surprise onside kicks, which, as we've seen even in a Super Bowl with the New Orleans Saints, like that's a part of the game. And so that, I think they got to figure out a way to maybe implement that. I don't know how you do that with everybody down on the 20-yard line or whatever it is. So I think they got to keep thinking about it, and maybe it changes a little bit. But the sky judge, I think, is a great thing, because ultimately, as a player, you just want to get the right call. And whether that goes in your favor or not, as long as there's evidence to show one way or the other, I think when those games, especially as they get down to the end of the season, become so crucial, you don't want to feel like you were cheated by a bad call. So if they're able to do that, I kind of liken it to, you know, what Major League Baseball is doing with this automated strike zone right now. And if you have the option to check it and the guy gets overruled, look, they're human too. They're going to make mistakes, and that's always been a part of it. But if you can eliminate more of those mistakes, I think it's better for the game.
Brian, loved it, appreciate it. And now we can put a star-studded event together where you could raise some money for a good cause with some of these items.
I love it. Yeah, I'll try to find those surgeon tools for you guys.
Thank you. Brian Hoyer, he joins us every week at 9 o'clock. A lot of reaction, especially on Matt Stafford.
Yeah,
he said he
good
is
stuff.
All in, last quarterback from his draft class. That's terrific. All right, that was Brian Hoyer. Last segment said basically no-brainer going after Matt Stafford. He thinks it's enough to get Miles Garrett excited.
Back on board.
About staying here, a commitment to that kind of a winning. Now, earlier in the show, I did raise some questions about it. I thought, you know, earlier in the show, I wondered, is this taking another shortcut? You know, much in the way that they tried to take that shortcut to winning a Super Bowl with a team they thought was loaded. Is this the time to do it? Because I do not think this team is as talented or has as many guys in their prime as that team did when they went and got Deshaun Watson. Watson, on paper, had a better year, you know, the last time he had played, than what we just saw out of 37-year-old Matt Stafford. Now, Hoyer did bring up Stafford's injury. He was playing with broken ribs. So if it looked like he was not as mobile, if it looked like he wasn't able to put as much into his throws – okay, there's a legitimate reason. So was that a good enough? Did that push you over the edge on Matt Stafford, especially considering Hoyer said, yeah, $50 million, whatever?
Did it push me up? No, I think Matthew Stafford would be the best available out there. And as I said earlier, I think Kirk Cousins is second best available. I agree 100% with what Brian said. 100%. No argument for me. The issue that I have is the practicality of it. How to make...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Make it work, right? I think that Andrew Berry could find a creative way to make it work, but when you're talking about $50 million a year, Anthony, he's got 2 years on the existing deal. I would assume he'd probably want at least a third. So that's a $150 million contract you'd have upon expiry. He's 37 as well, so when it expires, he's 40. Are you convinced that while, yeah, this year probably could give you a real good year, are you getting that the next 2 years, right? Or are you going to put yourself in a similar position contract-wise that you currently find yourself in with Deshaun Watson, right? Where you have a tremendous amount of cap space that will have to be burned off that deal at the end of it, right? Because that's the only way you can... The cash isn't an issue. I've said this repeatedly. For as critical as I have been of the Browns as an organization and their failings on the field, the one thing I cannot criticize with any semblance of credibility is ownership's willingness to spend to win and their desire to win. They're all in on winning. They don't care what it costs. So cash isn't an option. Matthew Stafford, you want $50 million a year? Fine. We'll swallow the 46 we're giving to Sean to make that happen. I have no doubt in my mind they'd be willing to do that. I just don't know, from a cap maneuverability standpoint, Anthony, how to make that work. If Barry can find a way, then I go for it. Absolutely go for
and
it.
And you're also saying you're trading your number one pick in the second round?
Yeah, I would trade 33.
That's a big pick to have.
Well, I'd trade 33 and maybe even give him a sweetener in there, yeah. Right? Maybe give him a player that you want to cut. Maybe give them a mid to late round pick or a comp pick that you know you're going to receive, something like that. I'm fine. If they want to go after Matthew Stafford, you're not going to get any criticism from me. I am just stuck on the practicality of it. And
also, he has to want to come here.
Right.
Got to do a little bit of a marketing plan here. You got to sell him on it because he holds the cards on this. And
you got a beach in L.A.? We got beaches here.
We got 90 days of great beach weather here, according to Jameis Winston. Don't forget about that, right? He said 90 days?
That's right.
90 days.
90 days.
In chagrin.
All right, so he could talk to Jameis about that. I don't know if the Browns make sense. How many teams would make sense right now? You know, a team that would make sense is San Francisco. Guess who there's no way in a million years the Rams are...
Trading with, right?
You're right.
That's just not happening.
They're not going to do that.
That'd be like the Browns trading Myles Garrett or Nick Chubb to the Steelers. That just isn't going to happen.
Yeah, you definitely have to limit.
No, they might cut them and then they sign with the Steelers. That's a different conversation. See Joe Hayden. But
all right, so right now, if Darryl, if you were to rank them, however you choose to do it, because we've talked about Sanders.
We only rank one way.
That's true.
On the show.
We've talked Cousins. We've talked Sanders. We've talked Stafford. Give me the Daryl Ryder power ranking on Browns offseason quarterback list. Number one.
Number one, Matthew Stafford. Number two choice, Kirk Cousins.
And drafting where? Drafting a quarterback where,
and
if at all?
Drafting a quarterback in the middle rounds. Okay. I don't care what round, but middle rounds. Take a flyer on a kid.
Not
right?
Trading up at the end of the first round?
No. No, because you're giving up, you're probably going to give that up to, make a player that can play. Get a player that can play now. Then I'm going to say there's like a massive gap. And then, sure, why not? Shutter Sanders or Cam Moore did too. Like
But a huge gap between
big gap
options
big gap.
Two and option three.
Yeah, because I really want nothing else to do with any of the other available quarterbacks this offseason. I want nothing to do with Aaron Rodgers. That's not even a conversation.
I'm in agreement there. No interest.
None. Zero zilch, nada. Juice, absolutely not worth the squeeze on or off the field.
I do know some people in my phone right now.
Although the Browns, big Pat McAfee show fans, so, you know.
Yeah, I have some people in my phone I could reach out to get him whatever he needs.
Yeah.
Who are those people?
Yeah, do tell.
It's under fake names.
Okay. Probably smart by you. I'm really not interested in that. That's why I keep using the term dumpster diving for quarterbacks, because that's what I feel like the Browns have to do this offseason. I think Kirk Cousins is the most realistic option that's out there. Matthew Stafford for me.
I guess
that,
I just
if they, I feel like Matthew Stafford's the gold at the end of the rainbow.
Yeah, I mean if they got Stafford, I could see them winning 10 games. Kirk Cousins, I have that in the neighborhood of 6 to 8 wins.
You don't think it's any higher than 8?
You'd have to have everything.
Yes.
Go your
correct.
Way. And that includes AFC North going down.
Which isn't
downhill.
Happen.
Well, you never know. I mean, but Lamar Jackson.
Baltimore's not
you
going
think
anywhere.
Lamar can get injured. Cover up warts that Kirk Cousins
correct.
Can't cover up.
Yes.
And I think the Bengals, some way, somehow, find a way to be better next season. I don't know how, because, you know, we don't know if they're keeping Joe Burrow's receivers or not.
All right. Daryl, the tush push. We had Brian Hoyer weigh on it last segment. The unknown team at first, that was the report that an unnamed team pushed this, and now it's the GM of the Packers. He's like, it was me.
Yeah.
I was the guy that am putting up a fight against this, and I imagine he's got some support.
I would imagine.
Because you wouldn't want to be out there on an island. It would be very bad PR if you're like the only team, because it just kind of makes you look bad. I think he does have support. I think people were disgusted by the prolonging of the tush-push play on the 1 yard line in the NFC Championship game. Everybody's watching that game, and everybody is rooting for them to
the
get
way
stopped.
Washington tried to defend the play, which is pretty much the only way you can defend.
Cheat. Yeah.
Here's the issue I have with the tush-push. It's not about mano a mano. It's not about athleticism. It's about people shoving a ball carrier forward and aiding the runner. If it was about the offensive lineman just taking out the defensive line and then the quarterback just sneaking the ball and getting an edge, that's fine. I have an issue with stacking your backfield with a bunch of guys just to shove your quarterback forward. That's the issue I have. And I don't feel like it's a true football play, and I know there's a lot of analysts, a lot of my colleagues disagree with me. I don't think it's a pure football play.
So this play was banned up until 2005. And really not the play, because the play didn't exist.
Aiding
but
the
it
runner
was
from behind was banned
correct.
Up until
and
then.
And the reason they changed the rule, back then they said they couldn't tell who was pushing who.
Yeah.
Well, now we know. It's an advertisement for we are doing everything we can to push. And what I find fascinating is anytime I bring it up and I say this doesn't look like football, there are some football guys that are like, this is football. And I'm like, well, if this is football, then I guess I don't like football.
Yeah.
Like, if every team did this, and I got to give them credit. They did better. They do it better than everybody else. If the Bills could have done it last year, they would have done it. And maybe the Bills would be in the Super Bowl.
They've not been able to replicate it. That's
nobody
the thing, right?
Can.
Nobody. And that is, I think, at the heart of now the growing dissent about the play is the fact that teams have tried to replicate it, and they can't. The Eagles are the only team, for whatever reason, that can do this as effectively as they do. It's funny you mentioned the Bills, because we saw them try it in games, and it didn't work. But, yeah, I really don't like the play. It was novel at first, but now I'm just like, this isn't what football was meant to be. It's not you're not having the ball carrier beat your opponent to gain yardage or gain an advantage on the field. You're just having a bunch of big guys behind you shoving you forward. And that to me, you're getting into the spirit of the game, and far be it for me to stick up for the spirit of the game. I just feel like that play is not in the spirit of the game. I know that's a really stupid argument to make, but I'm making it. I don't care.
Do you think Jalen Hurts today has a Super Bowl ring?
Without the tush push?
Without the tush push. If that was not in the arsenal.
Probably not.
If this had been banned a year ago, are they the world Super Bowl champions today?
I don't think so.
Owen?
Well, based on that game, they're still winning that game because, right. You know, Chiefs didn't block anyone. But he's probably not even in that game without the tush push.
He has been to a Super Bowl,
two Super Bowls.
Yes, the NFC Championship game. I mean, it's been an amazing career. And kudos to them. The rule, it's legal. They found a way around it. I kind of feel like this is getting banned. I feel like the league didn't like the look of that NFC Championship game, even though the game was over. I mean, it was not a game. But you needed an incident, a high-profile incident, and there it was on full display in front of, like, 50 million people.
Two hot-ticketed auction items. I have the broken clay pigeons that Brandon Whedon destroyed in Sports Science, and then I have the clippers that Baker Mayfield used to shave his face not once, not twice, but three times in a game.
I'd like to have the truck that tore up the field a couple years ago. I think that would be pretty cool.
Josh Gordon's bong. That thing would make a fortune.
The fishing pole that Joe Thomas used on draft day.
I would like to buy the glove that held the rally possum at the Browns Thursday night game.
The Hugh Jackson shirt and shorts from jumping in the lake after 0-16.
The George Kokinas file.
Always boils down and comes back to George Kokinas and the incident.
A couple of those things were mentioned multiple times. I'll let you guess which one had the most mentions.
Ooh.
I'm going to say the Hugh Jackson shorts and shirt.
Wrong.
Kokinas?
It was Kokinas.
I've seen a lot of...
The legend of George Kokinas.
Shanahan PowerPoint. Seen a bunch of that.
The Baker razor came in a few times.
Oh, good.
Well.
The LeBron ping pong balls from 2003 draft lottery.
That'd be nice.
I imagine... Don't think, you know what? I think the Cavs have that on display.
I think they do somewhere.
With their new renovation.
Yeah.
All that... All on their interior, they went, you know, with all the artwork.
Yeah. The
modern artwork.
I got some good ones. Someone wanted a jar of Lake Erie water when Hugh Jackson jumped in. That's somewhat gross. Total Browns Move on X said, an antique. How about the game ball from the last Browns home playoff game?
Which would be 1989.
They were using actual pig bladders then.
Was that the Bills game? Daryl, it had to be, right? It was the Bills game. It was against Jim Kelly.
Yeah, at home, yeah.
Let's see here. Okay, can't read that. Grady Sizemore's coffee cup.
Okay, the funny thing is, I thought about writing that down yesterday. I'm like, too obscure.
Nope.
Too obscure.
A few people said Deli's coffee cups.
Yeah, I did see that.
Okay, I can't read that one. Hang on. I'm trying to find ones I can actually read on the air.
One of the best, but had too many profanities in it, were the contact lenses that J.R. Smith conveniently forgot when he couldn't see the scoreboard in the finals in 2018.
Oh, yeah. That eventually led to what could be another item.
Here's LeBron a really good one.
Hold on. LeBron James punching the chalkboard or the whiteboard. Yeah. And what did he do? He broke something?
Yeah.
Broke his hand, right?
Allegedly. Yeah, we never saw
then
an
X-ray.
Here's a great item. This is from Elite Smoke Show on X. Jose Ramirez's glove from the Anderson fight.
That is a good one. That is a grab, man. That's one I'm surprised that we slept on all this time. All right.
Another one, the GLC barge.
Yeah, this stuff is way more valuable than any of the Woj stuff. Like phones that are wiped out that could have just come from anywhere. Like, how insane.
Yeah, I have a desk full of them that my children, that they play with, that they watch Miss Rachel with whenever they go.
Yeah, these aren't all that valuable. Anyway, so we'll leave that there. I saw this story. This is why I love politics. People always ask, why do you, you're a sports guy. Why do you care about politics so much? And I remind people that I had a double major.
Oh, really?
At Ohio State, not only public affairs journalism, but also political science. Not only that, Daryl, that when I was getting my master's degree at Syracuse, I actually lived in the Beltway.
Wow.
I have a credential from the Senate.
You ever worked in the State House?
I covered the State House for 2 years for the Lantern, the largest publication, student newspaper, student media in the country. Daryl, I've done all these things. I don't need to read off my resume. I will if time allows.
It's an impressive resume.
Congratulations on all your success.
But I love politics because of a story like yesterday and the intersection of sports and politics. Yesterday, a Dove Kleinman report, anytime Dove has it.
Oh, of course.
What if Dove Kleinman went to go sell his phones on all the news that he's pretended to break over the years?
Or all his personalities.
How many people have bought the Dove Kleinman account?
Yes.
The handle. Anyway, he had it. And then I also saw Philly Eagles Nation aggregated a February 6th report from the U.S. Sun. All heavy hitters in the journalism world. That it was going to be a, quote, massive no for the Eagles to visit the White House if they won the Super Bowl. And so people ran wild with this yesterday. Now, to be fair,
everyone, legacy and mainstream media, picked this up as if it was fact.
Yes, and to be fair, in 2018 when they won, they elected not to go to the White House. So I think people were putting two and two together. And assuming because they didn't go then. But either way, there was no, this was based on zero reporting. They just said, hey, they didn't go in 2018. They're probably not going to go. Let's make it a report. And then everybody ran wild with it. Like, for instance, very popular right-wing host, Megyn Kelly, who I have seen from time to time. I've seen her talk and debate with Bill Maher before. And she used to be on Bill O'Reilly, the O'Reilly Factor back in the day. Daryl, that used to be one of your favorite shows, I know.
Okay.
So,
hate spin.
She came out and she tweeted that this is absolutely ridiculous. She said, go blank yourself, Eagles. There was all sorts of outrage. Clay Travis was outraged as well. And then it turned out that none of this was true. The Eagles have since come out and said, if we're invited... And why wouldn't the president invite them? He's not somebody who is going to hold it against them. He's not vengeful. So, of course, they'll be invited, and they'll accept the invitation, and they'll go to the White House.
And they'll get their Big Macs and fries that'll be laid out on the table for them.
Hey, I defended that time. So did Ken. College students would absolutely love
absolutely.
That food that was available back then. Remember, they didn't have NIL. They didn't have all the sponsorships.
They didn't have deals with Ruth's Chris.
Right. They didn't have seven-figure deals with these hoity-toity places. But here's what I love. It wasn't just the right. The left, of course. The left came out. We love that the Eagles are standing on principle. And I just love, it's 2025. I just love that people have their camps and they're not breaking them. They just are going to run to whatever. It can be fake news. They don't care. No one's going to get to the bottom of it. They just know if my Dem said it, I'm going with it. Or, oh, my right winger said it, I'm going with it. It's like, can anybody think for themselves?
No,
they can't. Can anybody out there think for themselves? Is it really that hard to come up with your own conclusion and not have to put your thumb in the air and wait to see who your hero that you voted for said? Can you just come up with your own conclusion? Is it that hard? Or is this just, is this society from here on out?
This is society from here on out.
Daryl, we go in third party. Is that what we're going to have to do?
I don't think there's enough people for a third party. That's part of the problem.
I don't know about that. I'm thinking the worm may be turning there. We'll see. We'll see how the next 4 years goes.
Use the coming in hotline. Tell us. Tell us what party you're joining in 2020. Yeah,
that's right. I mean, just these people all, and no shame, any of these people.
We live
They're not going to apologize.
We live on a speck of dust in the universe, and none of us get out of this thing called life alive.
Deep thoughts by Daryl Ryder. Very well done. All right, well, we'd like to thank...
Listen to Pink Floyd albums now and walk next door and do that stuff.
Dark Side of the Moon, baby.
Go back and listen to the Brian Hoyer interview. Do you have the function on your phone? Can you make it backwards and then listen to the music you want to listen to in the background?
Turn it upside down, yeah.
Oh, that's good. Hoyer was excellent. He was awesome.